people carry on putting masks on.
Well, I've heard a couple people say they can't wait for this meeting to be over. that's just a conversation at this table. Why don't you ask on the
motion?
That's
for you
and
you as chair.
Yeah. Wonder name is me. So, again, welcome to our TRANSCOM meeting this Thursday, November 8th at 2018, starting at 2 o'clock-ish. Again, thank you for being here today. I'd like to recognize Ivan Hartle, who is our new UDOT programming director. Would you mind standing up? This is the guy we go to with all our issues and our problems. We want to make sure we recognize him. We know him really well. So, pleasure to have you here. And let's start with some introductions. If we can start over here on this end of the table and work our way around.
Okay, Mitch Adams, Clinton City. Blair Camp, Murray City.
Andrea Pearson, WFRC.
Jeff Scott, Box Elder County.
John Barber, Morgan County.
Rob Valley, Holiday.
Andrew Gruber, WFRC.
James Ebert, Weber County.
WFRC,
Scott.
Leonard Call, Pelican City.
Ben Compton, UDOT Commissioner.
Steve Meyer, UTA.
Jeff Harris, Utah Department of Transportation, here for Terry Newell. She sends her apologies.
Wade Bittner, Twillen County.
In the back.
Sir,
this
one, WFRC. Sir? Hugh Van Wagen, WFRC.
Chris Peterson, UDOT.
Ivan Hartle, UDOT.
Helen Peter, Salt Lake County, Program Manager for Transportation.
Roger Borgen, Utah for Better Transportation.
Jeremy Nelson, engineer for South Jordan City.
In the back corner.
Ned Hacker with WFRC.
Ned.
Woody Stanford, Wasatch Front Regional Council staff. And I'm Sheldon McConkie, I come with them.
The most important McConkie here.
I'm going to go talk to my boss.
She's ready for this meeting to be over too.
Yeah, probably.
Ben?
Ben with Rich, WFRC staff.
From Peterson, UDOT Region 2.
Ted Knowlton, WFRC.
And again, as always, I want to thank you for taking time out of your days. I know we're all extremely busy. These are important decisions we make in these meetings, so thank you for taking time to be here today. We have one action item to start with, which are our minutes that need to be approved for August 16, 2018. We can give you a minute to review them, and then we're open for a motion if you're ready to move forward.
It looks real, look good to me. Motion to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. I don't know if you want to go with John or with Mr. Bittner, Commissioner Bittner, but that's our second. Any further discussion on those minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the minutes, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? It passes. Thank you. This is the time we have set aside for public comment. Those of you who are here in attendance who would like to make comment on any topics regarding the Regional Council's plan or programs, this is your opportunity to make some public comment. We would ask you to keep it to around 2 minutes if you're going to make comments today. Okay, seeing none in the audience that are here for public comment, we'll move on to item number 3, Chair's Report, and I'd like to turn some time over to Andrew for a brief report on our local implementation of Senate Bill 136.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, as everybody knows, in the last legislative session, a significant piece of legislation was adopted, Senate Bill 136. Later in the meeting on the agenda, Steve Meyer is here from UTA, and he's going to be talking about some of the implications of that bill. Jeff Harris from UDOT is going to be talking about some of the implications for UDOT. So I'll leave those elements out of this brief report. However, one of the things that was done in that bill was some modifications to the local option sales taxes for transportation that can be adopted by the counties. And as you know, there's been significant action since the bill was adopted on that front. Salt Lake County adopted the so-called fourth quarter, and that doesn't mean fourth calendar year quarter, it means quarter of a percent, 0.25%, implemented that. That took effect on October 1st, and that those funds, as I think everybody knows, are distributed by a formula, 0.1 going directly to the cities, 0.1 going to UTA, and 0.05 going to the county. But in the first 9 months, 100% of that money will go to the county, and Helen Peters is here from Salt Lake County, is administering a process where the local communities are applying for those funds. They've asked WFRC to help them in reviewing those applications, which we're always happy to do, so that process is well underway. In addition to that, Tooele County took action and imposed the third quarter, which is a flexible local option quarter that can be utilized through a process with the cities and the counties and use that money for road projects or transit projects or active transportation. So that is taking effect. They also had on the ballot the so-called second quarter, which is funding specifically for transit, which Commissioner Bittner is indicating did not pass. So now, that's not the last chance. There isn't still an opportunity on any of these, if they're not imposed, to go back and try them again. But so unfortunately, from a transportation proponent's perspective, that did not pass.
Did you say that on the third quarter there was some flexibility built in? Did I hear you say that?
Under the statute, the third quarter can be, it's not designated X amount goes to this particular thing and Y amount goes to this particular thing. It is flexible in its utilization, and that's what Tooele County imposed. Weber County has that in place also. Salt Lake County has that in place. Salt Lake County a while ago decided to utilize that money principally for transit to support bonding for the build out of the tracks and footprint system. So most of those monies are tied up in Salt Lake County for now. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
And then Davis County has the opportunity, if they so choose, to impose that third quarter. And there are some conversations that have been happening in Davis County, are continuing in Davis County, about whether the county, with the support of the cities, wants to move forward in imposing that third quarter local option. And we've been, WFRC staff have been providing some technical information and assistance to folks in Davis County as they consider that. Box Elder County also has the opportunity to impose the third quarter and the fourth quarter, although I'm not sure that there have been any really serious movement in that direction at this time. Okay. That's...
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Sorry. So Jeff, do you think, so right now you guys are doing a transportation study for mass transit. Do you think when that study moves through, the findings come out, that will be some foundation to maybe get citizens to make them more aware of the need for those dollars to move some of those projects forward, or do you think that just will never happen?
I can scratch the microphone if you want to answer that.
There really hasn't been much of an appetite, to be real honest. We've had the second quarter in place for 10 years, and where there really hasn't been any movement at all for quite a corridor on UTA. It's really left a lot of people saying, let's just hold off. If anything, there might be a little bit of interest in some BRT between Box Elder and Weaver, and possibly something between Box Elder and Cache. But that's pretty much the interest that we've seen at this point.
Okay. I should note that under Senate Bill 136, that also authorized a new local option. It's not a quarter, it's a fifth, 0.20, specifically for transit, and that takes effect, or counties are authorized to impose that beginning July 1 of 2019.
Say that again. Is this the fifth quarter?
We refer to it as the fifth.
Okay, because I was just going to ask that.
Wouldn't that be the first fifth?
Technically, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Making sure.
The first fifth on top of the four fourths, but the first fourth is actually a 0.3, so if you want to get technical about it.
Okay. That's
really good math for an attorney.
Mayor, sorry.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you, because I was talking with Dave Spadafore about funding for next fiscal year already. He made reference to a fifth quarter, which I had never heard before. And I think it's this. So
it is.
What is it?
Okay. So Senate Bill 136 authorized a new local option sales tax. It can be imposed by the county, and it is at a rate of 0.2. It can't be imposed. The authority to impose it doesn't take effect until July 1 of 2019. It has to be used, if it's imposed, for transit. And it can only be imposed in the counties on the Wasatch Front. So this is not true for Chewelah and Morgan. It can only be imposed if all of the other four quarters have already been imposed. So Salt Lake County could do it. Weber County could do it. Davis County can't do it unless Davis County does their third, then they can do their fifth. Okay? Utah County can't do it unless they do their fourth. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Would you help me remember all that?
Unfortunately, it
doesn't. That's a two-rounder.
Thank you.
Now, and Lanice would note this chart here, which is on our website under our public involvement page, has all of this information. It lays it all out if you want. Okay? Okay. That was looking back, briefly looking ahead to the next legislative session. There's discussion around a variety of issues. One of them relates to these local option sales taxes. There are all these options, and the money that goes from various options to cities and counties has different definitions of what the funds are eligible for. You can use the third quarter money for some things, and you can use the fourth quarter money for other things. There is a working group of the Transportation Task Force that has been meeting. We've been participating in that. That is recommending a legislative change such that the eligible uses of all of those quarters for cities and counties is the same across all of the quarters and a little more flexible. So for example, right now in Davis County, if the third quarter is imposed, it can't be used for maintenance of existing facilities. What we're suggesting is to broaden the eligibility so that the local governments can use it for whatever their priorities are, as long as they're transportation consistent and flexible. It's basically a technical change, but it'd be helpful. That's under discussion now.
Does that include this first fifth or fifth?
It would not, because the conversation around eligible uses and flexibility is only around the portion of the quarters that goes to cities and counties.
Okay.
It would not impact the money that goes to transit.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Okay. One more thing, legislatively speaking, there is a commission on housing affordability that has been meeting to consider and attempt to address the real pressures, some would say crisis, of rising home prices and the lack of supply of housing that is affordable at all income levels of the spectrum. That commission is reviewing draft legislation. We've also been involved in that dialogue along with our partners at the League of Cities and Towns and Association of Counties and UDOT, UTA, etc. And one of the recommendations that's coming out of that related to transportation is if a city or a county has not fulfilled their obligations to adopt a moderate income housing plan, okay, you're required to adopt a moderate income housing plan, and you're required to do reporting on that plan. If you're not in compliance with those requirements, then UDOT could not spend TIF money in that municipality. Right? TIF, Transportation Investment Fund, this is the $600 to $700 million a year that's programmed by Commissioner McConkie and his fellow commissioners. And there would be a provision put in that would actually restrict the ability of the commission to use that money in communities that have not done their moderate income housing plan. Now, you might say, well, they're required by law to do it, so that shouldn't be a problem. But this is a way to indicate, hey, this is important communities. You really got to adopt these plans and fulfill your obligations there under. So there's more discussion happening around that. Okay. Any questions legislatively or anything?
Any questions about any of these items? Because I offline, I want to have a long discussion about the housing one.
Okay.
That's a hard one for municipalities and counties because we can't make anybody develop anything to an extent. And so if we're going to be held to not be able to spend TIF dollars for UDOT or that becomes problematic.
This is an excellent point and one that has been discussed a lot, that the restriction on using TIF funds in a municipality would only be if the city or county has not adopted their moderate income housing plan or done their reporting. It would not be whether the developers have then come and actually built the housing.
Okay.
So, and the League and UAC have been really, really clear about this, that the cities and counties should not be punished for things that they don't control.
Yeah, okay. Good discussion.
I only have one more thing, Mr. Chair.
Any questions specific to what he's lined out? Because he's going to line out like 80 things, and we're going to...
No, I'm not.
I forget the first 40 things. Anything specific to the legislative? Okay, Andrew.
I only have one more thing, and that is an expression of heartfelt appreciation to our outgoing Transcom members, several of whom are here today, Councilman Barber and Commissioner Bittner, and Commissioner Ebert, our chair. You all have been just really terrific partners to us here at Transcom and to WFRC generally, and we really appreciated all of your involvement and your leadership, Mr. Chairman. So on behalf of the staff here, and I'm sure all the other members, we want to express our appreciation to you. So thank you. Can you... Mayor Cronin's role is changing in her participation, but still engagement on the advisory board, right?
She thought she was done, but she got right back in. So thank you. And again, it's been our pleasure. Johnny?
Absolutely. It's been a great learning experience. Just awesome. All your employees are just over the top on being helpful.
Thank you. Wade, any thoughts before the door hits?
I have really appreciated the opportunity to work with the staff here. I think as I'm going out, these types of associations are the ones that I will miss the most. I think I have Wayne Banyan's number on speed dial, and several others. So again, kudos to the staff. I think you guys are great, and we appreciate everybody else around the table. Thank you.
And I would just add, I mean, staff's amazing. I think we've talked about the amazing people we have, but I would just like to say thank you to Andrew, who knows everybody, thinks about every person here in every project, knows every legislative move, thinks, dreams, talks about it every day, all day long. If you ask him a question, bring a sandwich, because he's going to have a very long answer for you, and you may get hungry halfway through, but he knows his stuff. I can only imagine he's a great guy to work with and for. I think we're lucky from the standpoint of the municipalities and counties to have someone at the helm who is as dedicated as he is to not only just transportation and development, but realistically to our entire communities and to us individually. So I want to say thank you, Andrew, very much. You've been awesome.
That's very nice. It's just a privilege to work with you and all of our partners that are here. So thank you very much.
Making sure I got everything that you texted me.
Sure. That's not true.
So again, thank you. It's been our privilege. If there's no other thoughts, let's move on to our item number four, our Transportation Improvement Program, our TIP program, a report on board modifications to the 2019-2024 TIP. Ben, would you please present to us? There's items, again, within your packet, and would you go over our modifications?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So today there's four items actually under the Transportation Improvement Program. The first one here will be the report on the board mod that was taken by the Regional Council last month in October. Then there's the new board mod to be reviewed and approved by this committee. And then to review the list of letters of intent received, and then to talk about some federal state funding exchange. And so to begin with item 4A, before we start that, to review with each of you, so the Transportation Improvement Program, as you know, 6-year program, has the highway transit and all the active transportation projects. It's 6 years of programs. It's the urban areas for the Salt Lake West Valley, which is essentially from North Salt Lake down to Utah County. The Ogden Lane urban area goes from Salt Lake all the way up into Brigham City and the Box Elder. It's the federal funded, state funded, and local funded projects, and it's for all the cities, counties, and UDOT and UTA. It'll implement the long-range plan projects, it'll meet the short-range needs, and it provides for the maintenance of our existing system. Due to the nature of the Transportation Improvement Program, there's periodic modifications. Actually, every month we have modifications. Due to the dynamics, because of the funding of the projects or the type of projects, this modification requires actions from the Regional Council, or if they're not meeting, then that delegated responsibility falls upon TRANSCOM, and this document is updated every year with new projects as well as funding strategies. So item 4A, in your meeting materials, you should have found a signed resolution with, it had three tables attached to that resolution that identified projects, and those tables look similar to this. Identified the projects that were reviewed with the Regional Council, and they approved that, and that signed resolution is in the packet. If there's any specific questions on the projects, we can address those or we can proceed on.
Any questions specific to the report that Ben has? Okay, are we ready to move to item B then?
Yes.
So item B is an action item, and Ben will discuss modifications to the four projects.
Wonderful, thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
So the Regional Council did receive four requests from the Department of Transportation. Again, in your meeting materials, you'll see an unsigned copy of the resolution. Attached to that resolution are two tables. Each table consists of a couple of projects, and those projects we'll review now at this time. The first two projects that are identified on the first table, looking at our urban area here, the first project is on I-80. It's over the Surplus Canal, which is about 3,000 west. So all of you that came from the east passed over this very project. It's located right in this location here. This project has the pavement, or the section over the canal, has deteriorated. The department has tried a lot of measures to mitigate and improve that, and they had some funding identified to do a resurfacing. When they got in looking at this project, it was realized that the whole deck, that there needed to be a replacement on that deck itself, and so the additional funds of $1.4 million will make this a total project cost of $3.5 million, and that's for a project that will take place this coming season. The next project located here in Salt Lake County, it's on 106 South. Sorry, Mary, can you see?
I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, good. This is on a project. It's for reconstruction and widening from Redwood Road up to Jordan Gateway. This project, when it was initially advertised, it came in 10% over the engineer's estimate. They went ahead and awarded the project and began to work using the contingency funds on that project. But due to some of the utility cost as well as right-of-way, the cost increased using that buffer of funding, and the utilities caused a significant amount of delay, about 150 days of delay. And so the additional funding is to meet the shortfall there. There was a request for $2.5 million, making the total project cost a little more than $17.5 million. That brings us to the next table. In that next table, we have two projects. The first one here in Davis County, Weber County. This is on I-15 from Hillfield Road, from SR 232 to I-84. This will widen the existing facility within the right-of-way, as well as providing auxiliary lanes or HOV lanes. So it's an operational improvement on I-15. Initially, the programming for this project was $158 million. This came out of the TIF program that was identified.